world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you here today. And as I say every morning, there's no me without you. So I appreciate you all being here with us. And as I always say, I guess it's that disclaimer, the views of this host are not necessarily those of whoever, pick whoever you want to. They're my views and my thoughts. And look, it's really, really critical at this time in which we sit, let the dust settle. So I fight the urge to come in here this morning and start saying, oh, did you see this? Did you see this guy behind this tree? Did you see this guy making the sign of the cross? Did you see this? I'm not going to play that game. We're going to find out. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't find out. We still don't know what happened with 9-1-1. We still don't know what happened with John F. Kennedy. We still don't know. We still don't know the stories on all these things. Will we ever know the story or not? I don't know. But I do know this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. And the people in high places control what we hear and what we see. We had a big vigil last night here. Well, for big for us, 1,000 people, maybe 1,000. I don't know. A lot of people downtown Newark last night. See, folks, people care. People really, really care. But we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And that's why I'm so proud. Am I allowed to be proud? So I'm so proud of Coach Dave Live and you guys, the things that you are doing on your own, on your own initiative, on your own dime most times, with the ridicule of all of your friends and the pastors and all of it. Keep at it, man. Keep at it. Because I'm just standing there last night and I'm listening to everything that's going on. And, you know, I'm thinking, I told you so. I've been telling you this. I've been telling you this. But see, we still haven't made a shift. Stay with me. We don't understand the church I'm talking about. God bless everybody came last night. We still don't understand that we are in a war, but we are not at war. Say it again because it went right over your head. We are right now demonic punching bags. That's what we are. It's like we're the, you guys ever watch Rocky? We're like the sparring partner of the devil. But we just cover and let him hammer away. And every once in a while we get together and say, hey, we're still alive. And we'll hammer. And there's no offense. There's no offense to Christianity. And I'm not, look, it's my coaching background. I know I say that a lot. I'm very analytical when I look at things. Why it's not working. That's all coaching is. Because when you're out on the football field, we're trying to run a play, and the other team's trying to stop the play. And so my whole life is, why isn't that working? Why isn't that play working? Why isn't that play working? That's the way I think. So I look at the culture and the society and I ask myself the same question. Why isn't that play working? Huh? Run your other play. That's the way I feel a lot of times, right? So by nature, I'm not critical. That's not the word. I'm analytical. A plus B plus C equals, why isn't that working? I'm going to talk a little bit about that here today. I want to show you a real brief clip if I can. We had a great event, and I looked all day, this morning, I'm sorry. I want to give credit to whoever organized that last night, and I'm to be honest with you, I don't know what the guy's name was, but I appreciate he doing it. He just stepped out, stepped out on his own and organized it, and we had an event. Now, I'm going to say this because you know this is me, right? About four times last night, he stood up there and he said, I would like all pastors to come forward. All pastors come forward. Pastors, we'd love to hear from you. All pastors come forward. What do you think happened? The pastors either didn't come forward or they weren't there. And neither one of those are a good excuse. All pastors, again, fourth time. Any pastors? We'd like all pastors. Any pastors want to come up here? By the way, they had baptisms afterwards. I mean, it was good. It was all good. Any pastors? Any pastors? Why wouldn't every pastor in Licking County, Ohio, be there? Can I tell you why? Sadly, it wasn't their idea. Their church didn't organize it. I'm being analytical, okay? Being analytical. Where were they? Can I show you real quickly here? Yeah, you'll see me, and I get a chance. They asked me to come blow the shofar, if you can believe that. And of course, I elbowed my way back up in there again. But here's a real brief. 10 TV, our local channel here in Columbus. They came out and covered it. Our local newspaper, not so much. Number two, go ahead and play that. Hundreds gather in Newark. Look right there. Go back there again. Can you go to the beginning? Look, no, keep going. There's Michelle. There's me. Then play it.
Downtown Newark was filled with prayer as people showed up to pray for Charlie Kirk. Good evening to you. Thanks for joining us at 11. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Yolanda Harris. Now, one man helped organize a vigil that brought an entire community together. 10TV's Libby Cathy was there.
Not true.
Here outside the Licking County Courthouse, several hundred people gathered here tonight, bringing fold-up chairs and candles to honor Charlie Kirk in prayer. Several hundred people gathering outside the Licking County Courthouse tonight for a grassroots vigil honoring Charlie Kirk.
Newark, come on, let's hear some noise. Isn't that amazing?
Newark resident Christopher Bryceland put the event together in just 2 days.
I was just going to come down here by myself and say a prayer.
He said the idea came to him
while sitting at church, Spring Hills out in Granville.
He posted on Facebook offering extra candles. When hundreds responded, he alerted police.
I said, listen, I think we're going to have a couple hundred people down here, and we're just going to be praying.
Just after sunset, he invited local pastors to speak on the courthouse steps and join the community in prayer.
And folks, I want you to know, we are right now today, as we stand here in Licking County, Ohio, we are in a battle for the lives of our children and our grandchildren.
Pastors said they are praying for comfort for Kirk's family and friends and called this a turning point for the nation. Bryceland also invited the young men he said Kirk was trying to reach to speak.
The generation Charlie was trying to speak to.
25-year-old Dustin Gockenbach said Kirk's message to young people was clear.
He was talking to my generation. He wanted to give us a voice. He said, listen, think carefully. And he was killed for his beliefs.
19-year-old McKenna Day spoke to the importance of local events like this one.
I think this is a good way to give people that feeling of belonging and community.
She and her boyfriend, 20-year-old Addison Ross, both said they hope this will bring people together.
Everyone needs to realize that stuff like this needs to unite us instead of divide us. And unfortunately, with things like this happening, there's way more division than there is unity.
I think that if people realize that the right wing and the left wing are both on the same bird, I think that the eagle could really soar. I think that our nation really needs unification.
And tonight, hundreds here hoping that message takes flight. Reporting in Newark, Libby Cathy, 10 TV News.
Again, so it was kind of, I didn't play that because I was in it, okay? Actually, I had about, I don't know, maybe a minute. Tried to elbow my way up there again. Because look, we're at a crossroads, and I want to share something with you today, folks. The other side is just getting started. You understand that? The culture of death is just getting started, and we my opinion, we have to move beyond. No, that's not right. We have to prepare ourselves for people. We're not going to win this, whatever we're in the midst of. We're not going to win it by just sharing the gospel with them. Folks, it ain't going to work anymore. Just sharing the gospel, it isn't going to work anymore. Now, you need to do that individually. But if we think that we're going to, this demonic rage that's loose, if we think we're going to just win this by sharing the gospel, you're greatly, greatly deceived, because there is going to become a natural physical war that is breaking out. There are more of these shooters out there, probably, right? Right? We understand all that? But I want to show you something, because you got to pull up for me if you can, Spencer. I know you can. Pull up for me number seven. Number seven. No, hang on. Yeah, okay. Go number seven, then number six. Now, this is what they call the Faith Hall of Fame. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. And then it goes down and tells us everything. Faith Hall of Fame. All of these guys did. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, it's impossible without faith. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. Told us all these guys. They answered the call. Do you think that in Noah's day, it was a good thing that it was popular to be out telling people, get on the boat, get on the boat. See, it says there in verse 13. That all these guys, they all died in vain. They didn't receive the promise. Who was the promise? Jesus. Jesus was the promise. They didn't receive it. But having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. I want you to go to verse 32. This is called, again, look, all this by faith. Okay, by faith, by faith, by faith. Here's what we have to prepare ourselves for. And one of the things I would like to do, as we move forward the show, what might be a plan? What might be a plan? Okay? So I heard through the crowd last night, evangelificism, God has a wonderful plan for our lives. All things work together for good. And it's all true. By the way, I don't know if God has a wonderful plan for our lives or not. I really don't know. By the way, what would be wonderful to me may not be wonderful to you. What may be wonderful to me may not be wonderful to the Lord. We are to lay down our lives. So I was thinking last night as I was watching it, what's the message here? What do we have to prepare ourselves for? You ready? Here you go. And what more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Barak, or whatever you want, of Samson, of Jephthah, or David, Samuel, or other prophets. What do you mean? A time of failure to tell about who? What? Oh, those guys you mean who through faith subdued kingdoms? Friends, are we interested in subduing kingdoms? Wrought righteousness. Hey, Spencer, that's a great word. Wrought. What does Webster say wrought is? Wrought righteousness. They didn't just preach the gospel. They wrought it. Wrought. Worked. Formed by work or labor. Effected, performed, produced, used in labor, worked, driven, actuated, formed. All right? So what did they do? Go back. Go back to they did. What did they do? They wrought righteousness. Who did? People were not even what they're going to tell us about. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. Folks, these are the people whose shoulders we stand on. Escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, not watching it, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hey, what would be a better resurrection? What would that one be? I want a better resurrection. And others, who are these people? Just others, them guys over there. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. That's life now. God had a wonderful plan for their lives. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Friends, you ready? Hey, folks, hey. They didn't preach this last night. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. Who? Who? These people who wrought righteousness? See, we think we're going to escape all this stuff. They're after our children and our grandchildren. We are seeing a generational shift right now. The number of young people who are waking is unbelievable. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. We don't even know their names. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and dens and caves of the earth. Why? They're trying to expand the kingdom. And all of these, who? Those folks you just read about, having obtained a good report through faith, they didn't receive the promise. Huh? No, that's what it says. Because God, having provided something better thing for us, that we get to be part of this too. We get to be the closing act that they, without us, can't be made perfect. They're in a holding tank waiting on us, friends. And I don't know how. Is that the end of it, folks? You ought to read this today. Is that the end of it, Jared? Is that the end of it? They're waiting on us. They're waiting on us. And didn't I talk yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever, about the man, the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God? And when we showed there last night, can I tell you something? There was not, other than what I said, there was no battle cry. There was no battle cry. We blew the shofar. There was no battle cry. We know what's going on. What are we going to do? You guys picking this up? The world's waiting for us, friends. The whole creation groaneth, waiting. Do you think we've seen the last martyr? Can I tell you why? I don't have the scripture in front of me. Somebody could dig it up for me. But the Bible makes it very, very clear. All those who hate me love death. Christians love life. Devil's kids love death. Who is advancing the agenda more, the devil's kids or God's children? I think it's perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. Let me say it again. I wonder how many pastors there were in I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They didn't know it, let's say. How come they wouldn't know it? The benefit of the doubt. How many churches in Licking County? Spencer, real quickly. Say, Coach, you're always fucking at the negative. No, I'm an analyst. If the guy isn't blocking, he isn't blocking. Spencer, Google churches in Licking County, Ohio. Churches in Licking County, Ohio. And there it is. Second one down. How many? Whoa. More, please. More, please. More. Huh? More. Oh, more. Huh? More. Were they there last night? Were they last night? No. Why? Why weren't they there? Did they not know? Did people in the church not know? The greatest gathering in my lifetime of Christianity at the courthouse in downtown Newark. The greatest gathering of Christianity in my lifetime. And they didn't come. Or they didn't know. Because can I tell you something? Being controversial, isn't it? Being MAGA is controversial. Well, what if they got? What if somebody there saw them there? Not all of them. Some of them didn't know. That's a crime in itself, right? That they didn't know, but some of them didn't know. What about the ones who knew and didn't come? Okay, number six. I'm going to open it up, Glenn. I see you. Hang in there, Glenn. Pull up number six for me. Hey. I want to be in the Faith Hall of Fame. Anybody out there want to be in the Faith Hall of Fame other than me?
Boom.
Anybody want to? What would it be like to walk into heaven to a standing ovation? Or you just want to be one of the guys sliding down the slide into it? I don't know Pastor Rich Bitterman. I don't know him. Know nothing about him. But he wrote this. The bullet tore the air in half. The folding chair rattled and the Bible dropped and a young man slumped sideways beneath a white event tent, eyes wide with the weight of eternity. It was supposed to be a conversation, a prove me wrong segment, but this time rebuttal came not with words, but with a rifle. Hey, friends, all those who hate me love death, and we better wake up, church, to the spiritual war that we find ourselves in. Charlie Kirk didn't even get to finish his sentence. I got the news just before prayer meeting. I contemplated this death as I prepared to lead the saints in prayer, but I didn't feel like praying. Not tonight. Uh-uh. My hands were still, my mouth was ready, but my soul was pacing, angry, grieving, tempted to grow quiet, tempted to sit this one out, tempted to wonder if any of this faith, boldness, public gospel, is it worth it? Because hatred in this country isn't simmering anymore, folks. It's boiling. Europe is trembling. Israel's burning. Rockets lit the sky over Gaza. And now here on American soil, the blood of a Christian apologist paints the pavement of a university quad. Let me ask you something. When do we do that? What do you say when courage gets gunned down in daylight? Hey, I'm not going to do the booming anymore. But Martin, there's a boom. What do you do when courage gets gunned down in daylight? Charlie Kirk was no perfect man. None of us are. But he had backbone where most of us don't anymore. He was a believer, unashamed, unafraid. He understood that real conversations only happen when truth is welcome at the table. And the truth he carried most was Christ. He brought the gospel into the public space on purpose, because the gospel isn't supposed to stay in the church basements and private Bible studies. It's meant to confront. It is supposed to offend. It wasn't made for safety. Jesus didn't die on that cross for you to be safe. The word became flesh, and they nailed him to a tree. So, of course, they came for Charlie. Of course, they reached for a gun. It's what evil does when it runs out of arguments. It doesn't reason. It kills. That's the part that catches in my throat. Not just the sadness, but the strategy of hell behind it. Oh, I wish I'd written this. The strategy of hell behind it. You see, the enemy wants us afraid. He wants us to see what happened to Charlie and backpedal. He wants the rest of us to whisper, to soften the message, to believe the lie that faith should stay private. But Christ never whispered. There's another one, boy. There's another one. He never whispered. He preached in temples, hillsides, courtrooms, dinner tables. When they told him to be quiet, he picked up a cross. Not a symbolic one, a real one. Heavy, bloody, splintered. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he didn't hand out maps. He handed out a cross. That's what I remember tonight. I sat in our prayer space, surrounded by saints who had brought prayer lists and worn Bibles. And I realized I didn't want to lead them in mourning. I didn't want to lead them in, I didn't want to lead them in road trials. I wanted to lead them into battle. Not with banners or fists, with open Bibles and tear-stained prayers, the kind of war that kneels in gravel beside the wounded, hands them living water, and refuses to leave, the kind that speaks both mercy and judgment without flinching, that kind that Charlie died for. Folks, this world is not a friend to grace. The grace is fragile. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul didn't leave that question unanswered. Shall tribulations or distress or persecutions or famines or nakedness or danger or sword? He piles up every fear you and I carry. And he sets them on fire. Nope, baby. in tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Hey, you can't get hit in a football game if you ain't in the game. You're sitting in the stands, you're not going to sprain your ankle. Unless you're going to get a hot dog, maybe. Let's do that. You see, this doesn't mean bullets don't win. That means bullets don't win. Slander doesn't win. Prison bars don't win. Death doesn't win. You can lose everything in this world and still walk into glory with your head lifted high. Because the love of God in Christ Jesus isn't suspended by headlines or gunfire. There are two worlds that are unfolding right in front of us. Folks, right now, it's right in front of us. It's right in front of us. The one you see is one that you don't. One is filled with chaos. The other is filled with crowns. I believe that when Charlie Kirk's body slumped to the concrete, his soul stood upright in heaven. Not limping, not silenced, not stunned, crowned. He didn't fall. He crossed. The great cloud of witnesses gained another voice. And I wonder if Stephen met him there. The first martyr. The man who got stoned for preaching what the crowd didn't want to hear. The man who, in his final breath, saw the heavens open. The only time in all of scriptures that we see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, rising to receive one of his own. I'd like to believe he stood again. Are you afraid? You feel the tremble in your spirit? Do you wonder if it's worth it to speak boldly, to carry your Bible, to preach the gospel in a world that doesn't just disagree, but wants you dead? You want to wear a cross Dave hat, Coach Dave cross hat everywhere you go. But see, you're not alone. You're not weak for feeling that, but you are called to something stronger. Oh my goodness. You're called to something stronger than silence. Don't let fear, oh my goodness, don't let fear become your theology. Cross is high, but man, the reward. You see, the reward is Christ. He's not a concept, he's a king. Heaven ain't empty. It's filled with scarred saints who refuse to bow to fear. Men who were stoned, women who were burned, children who sang white the flames, children who sang while the flames climbed, and every last one of them arrived. There's no difficulty that can cancel the promise of God. There's no persecution that can derail your destination. There's no sniper's bullet that can separate a soul from Christ. You see, your life's not measured by how long you live on earth, but how much of it was spent pointing to heaven. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. And then he looked toward the reward. Not a monument, not a mention in the history books, but a crown handed to him by the one with nail marks still in his hands. So let me say this clearly. We don't mourn like the world mourns. We do not write eulogies dripping with sentiment. No, we sing songs of resurrection. We carry the banner of a kingdom that does not tremble. Charlie Kirk did not die for nothing. He died carrying the same message you and I must now carry forward. The cross still stands. The tomb is empty. The gospel has not lost 1 ounce of its power. So, hey dudes, pick up your cross. Wipe your eyes and keep moving. The crown is worth it. The king is coming. And there's still time to speak, even if they shoot. Lord, give us courage, not safety. Give us joy, for we carry not just the message, but the marks. And you're worth every bruise. Folks, we have been hearing for quite a while, a fraudulent gospel. Jesus, the modern gospel teaches you to live, that Christ has a wonderful plan for your life, and the real gospel calls you to die. Come on, Glenn.
Yeah, that's powerful, Coach.
It is.
That is powerful.
I wish I'd written it.
As we're sharing, you know, there's something that is stirring in the hearts of some people. I heard the message that Daniel Kalinda gave on Sunday down in Dallas. Now, for those that don't know, Daniel Kalinda was the successor of Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke was an evangelist, very big in Africa, preaching to many. He made a pledge that he's gonna pick up the cross and take it to the college campuses. Daniel leads a large ministry called Christ for All Nations. So he's now gonna go to the college campuses. He made a statement in his message. He says, you know, most pastors, they have a lot of courage when they're preaching to the choir.
Amen.
But they don't have the courage to go out.
Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you, courage begets courage, folks. Courage. Do you know that every man there last night, Glenn, wished he had that courage? He didn't want to die. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. They wish they had that courage. They all do. We love heroes. Who are we making our heroes of? When's the last sermon you heard in your church on courage? When was it? Come on in, Martin.
Oh, bless you, Coach. What a timely message. Yeah, as Ohio Brett put in the chat, sir, if you could put that in the chat, that would be awesome to share with everybody at Coach Dave Live and those who tune in. I just wanted to bring up, I want to say thank you for going to the event that was close to your house, Coach. I went to the one in Dublin, Ohio. Vivek Ramaswamy spoke, Attorney General Dave Yost, you know, all the political people were there, Coach. But there were some no-name people, you know, local dignitaries and such. And I remember I was struck by one speaker who asked everybody in this 1,000-plus crowd, Coach, to raise their hands if they were willing to bring, you know, their neighbor or someone to Christ. Coach, I was disheartened. I saw about 5 hands go up, sir, and 2 of them were mine.
Martin, who are you to push your religion on others? Folks, is that not the message of today? Who are you to push your morality on me? So I want to kind of throw this out on the table. I'm going to let Craig come in. And then I want to hear from some of you who never speak. I want to hear from some of you. What should be our plan going forward from here? From here. What should be, I hate to use this term, what should be some demands If all politics are local, what should be some demands that the 1,000 people that were there last night make? When we left there last night, should we have demanded all that LGBT shit come down out of the schools? Should we have demanded an opening prayer in our schools? What practically is it that we can do as a result of the blood of Charlie Kirk? Or are we just going to say, well, you know, it's just only going to get worse. It's what the Bible says. It's a dangerous world out there. Huh? Oh, well, pull your kids out of the schools. I'm for that. But why do we have to pull? Why don't you get mad that they take your money, demand your tax money, and teach your children things you don't even believe? What kind of fool does that? So what's our strategy? Where do we begin? Locally, how do we begin to reclaim? What if we went to our school boards and asked them to post the Ten Commandments? How many Christians could we get at a local school board meeting asking them, please, we would like the posting of the Ten Commandments. Please, we would like a time of silent prayer at the beginning of the day. Folks, these are practical things that we can do. Craig, come on in. I want to hear from y'all out there. I want to hear from y'all. Hey, look. I just saw David Arthur's hand go up there. I'm going to tell you this. The LGBTQRSWRSFD homos, they're far better evangelists than we are. Come on in, Craig.
Well, Coach, you probably had, in your experience, a very, very good player or even a good team. But what happened is the other team got in your team's head or that player's head, right? So the devil has gotten in the church's head, okay? So yeah, that's perfect right there, because right there is your map there, Coach.
Pull that back up, Spencer. Pull that back up if you can. The map, this now, Fred, hang on, Craig. I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, I meant to interrupt you. Hey, folks. Those are just the churches we know of. How many little smaller churches are there? Look at that. Look at those. Folks, how can homosexuality and transgender, how can all that stuff be in our schools? Now, look, they didn't even go to Granville. There are churches in, go left there on that screen. Hang on, Craig, I'm coming back. Go to Granville. You don't have to click on it. But Granville is about 7 miles from Newark. Huh? Oh, yeah, 7 miles from, go down to Hebron. Scroll down, Spencer. There's Hebron. That's where I live. There's only one church in Hebron. No. There are more churches in Hebron. Huh? What? Well, there's a few more in Hebron. What? Wow. What about Jacksontown over here? Are there any churches in Jacksontown? Just go to your right here, down Route 40, huh? Well, you mean there's churches in Jacksontown? There's churches in Kirkersville? Where were they? Where are we? So have them outnumbered. And I hate to say that. And what's our answer? Can we please have a release time and pull our children out for LifeWise? I love LifeWise. Don't get me wrong. But why are we begging for crumbs? Why can the homos openly teach it? And the churches have to pull the kids out. Go ahead, Craig. I'm sorry. I'm in charge here. It's my show. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely, Coach. No doubt about that. Hey, Spencer, pull up Refiner's Fire map, okay? So wouldn't it be great to see all those locations here over the fall of 2025 end up on this map over here? You know, the Refiner's Fire prayer is to open the ears of the church. I mean, that's what the seven letters said for those who can hear. So what has happened is the devil has gotten into the mind of the basic Christian pastor, church, whatever, okay? This has nothing to do with the building, okay? Because Acts 2:1 says they were in one place of one accord, okay? The one place is just where they gathered. It's about the people. It's always been. It's never been about the building. It's about the location, all right? And the devil wants your town, and for most part, he has it, you know? So we have an opportunity for those who, you know, feel led by the Holy Spirit to do this. But what I honestly felt, Coach, is after Gettysburg, when that revival just broke out at a church campus, just at a 12 o'clock average every day service, that the Lord had bypassed the church, you know, the established church, and was reaching into the young people. Yeah. Because that wasn't a tent revival. That wasn't come to my church because, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to show up here. It just did. And it was well known. It made national news.
Craig, are you referring to the government approved businesses known as churches? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm approved where people go to gather in the name of Christ in one place and in one accord. And what
with now, government but, with government approval? With government approval.
Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is ultimately
sarcasm. It's called sarcasm. I'm being sarcastic.
Right, you know, so go to location. I mean, why did we go to courthouses? Because that's where people go to get justice, right? Yeah. So why don't we go to locations where people go to hear the pure word of God that the devil has gotten in their head? He does. They don't understand. They don't understand their power.
So hang on, friends. This is why this is so important. This is why it's so important. Look at me. Stop waiting on the pastor. Folks, he ain't going. I saw it last night. They ain't coming. Four times last night. Pastors come forward. Pastors come forward. Three, four, maybe eight. How many churches were? Craig, I'm not. I get it. I know you. I get it. I know it. Folks, we're the church. We're the church. Ain't that building? Ain't that?
Well, can I ask you a question, Coach? How many times did you ever go carry the ball on the team on the field? You sat on the sidelines. It's always been the players. Well, we've reversed. That's why I say the devil has gotten in our, and the devil has gotten in the head. Just like, you know, your opponent, you were looking at this young kid. He's like, you're better than him. Why did he was poking you at the lunch table, you know, 2 hours ago. Now he's in your head. Get him out of your head. Mm. So
take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring in captivity to the obedience of Christ. And can you believe when you turn on the media, they hate Christ. They hate the advancement of the gospel of the kingdom. When's the last show you've seen on with a sympathetic view of what's going on in Christianity? How Christians are responding to it. See, it's all bigotry and hatred and race. That's the Christianity they're selling to the lost people. We let them get away with it. We got 15 minutes left. Somebody come on in here. Hey, they ain't gonna let David Arthur come in the church to talk about homos. They ain't gonna let him do it. Sorry. They ain't gonna let him do it. That would be mean. Hateful, judgmental, bigoted. He deserves to be shot for doing that. You don't have to say amen. No, it's true. Come on, Randy.
Coach, okay, because I have a long game here, I have a long-term vision, and I think a lot of us do, but not everyone does, Coach. When you get rid of the short-term theology, short-term the futurism and no use polishing the brass on a sinking ship mentality, then if you do that and you can throw that away and get a long-term vision, then you realize that it probably is a generational thing. This is a long game. So when you get that in you, Coach, now, because of that, I see value in every day advancing the kingdom every day of my life. I see value in that. So what do I do, Coach? I carry stones with me. I carry oil, and I have a voice and a heart that says, I love Jesus, and I'm going to put the kingdom right here where you people live, whether you know it or not. So I lay out a stone. I'll go to a business. I talk to you about this, but every time I go to a business, I've already got the stone in my hand. It's ready to go. All I do, I lay it out there. Somewhere inconspicuous, I lay it there and I go, Father God, bless this company if they carry on righteousness and justice. Bring judgment on them if they do not. And I just pray things like that. I pray for the rocks to cry out 24/7 when I leave for justice and righteousness. Okay, Coach, I'm just a little guy. I'm a little nobody. Okay. If I can do that, what about a million Christians doing
that?
Come
on, man.
Huh? How about the ones that are too, like on your show right here, that never speak? They're good Christian people, but they're quiet. I quit being quiet. I'm not timid as like I used to be. I am still timid, but Coach, I'm not afraid. I have no fear in me. So how do you get to that point? I'm not the leader. I'm just a guy who believes in being obedient.
So how do you get to that point, Coach? So last night, folks, this may seem trivial to you, folks. It's not trivial to me. So I'm standing there, and this event's going on last night, and I'm listening. And I hear the unction of the Holy Spirit so strong to go up and say something. My wife grabs me by the arms, says, I love her. I love my wife. No, that's okay. Don't go. Well, I'm thinking, oh, my God, how are they going to paint me? Media's going to come. Oh, my God. Folks, you got to push through that stuff. You got to push through that stuff. And I walked up uninvited, and he didn't know what to do. I got a second. Well, the video you saw, I blew the shofar. The video you saw was my second attempt. And I want you to know, I walked through fear of being ridiculed, laughed at, shunned. I had something to say, and I was going to say it, and I didn't care what the hell they thought of what I said. We have to get to that point, friends. We have to get. Somebody has to speak the truth. Go ahead, Randy. I interrupted you. I had to get that in. Look, I'm not patting myself on the back, talking about how brave I am. That's not the point. I heard the Holy Spirit say, do it, and I did it.
Amen, Coach. Amen. I don't know how to get people there. I don't know how I got there, really, Coach. I just decided to be obedient. And when I learned how to do that, the fear dropped. Boldness came up, fear went down. And the more you do it, the more bold you get and the more less fearful you are. So there is an experience factor in there. But Coach, your heart has to be in the kingdom. Your heart can't be in the future of just getting off this earth and going to be with Jesus. The presence of God's right here now, Coach.
It's here right now.
The kingdom of God, if it's in you, and I believe it is in most people, they are carrying God's government, His righteousness, His justice, joy, peace, everything the kingdom offers. You have it in you. That's why Jesus said it's not a destination. He said the kingdom of God is among you. It's within you. Why? Because the kingdom, because I'm here. I'm in you now. So we have to see yourself as that vessel.
Yeah. See, here's what it is. We are witnesses. It is our job to speak truth to lies. It's our job to push goodness in the face of evil. That is our job. And the left is going to call you judgmental, hateful, yada, 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 yada. And someday I'm going to stand before the Lord, as will you, and He's going to say to you, hey, Martin, what did you do about the fact that they were teaching with your tax dollars that little boys could be little girls? What did you do about it, bust man? You know, say, oh, well, I went to church and prayed, paid my tithes. And I didn't, Lord, judge anybody when I was down there. I just told them all how much you loved them. That haunts me. Eileen, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everyone. I have come to a point in my life, and it wasn't easy, and it was very scary many times, but I have come to the point in my life now that I am more afraid of not being obedient than I am what the consequences may be for speaking up. And right now in our community, we are dealing with 4 suicides of young people. I'm talking 14 and 15 years old. And I'm just praying to do not to step out in anger. Or speak out in anger.
It's okay to speak out in anger, Eileen. It's okay to speak out in anger. You ought to be angry. Be angry and stand up.
Allison, Sherry and Dave Allison and I have been going to these school boards for the past year and a half to get them to put display the Ten Commandments, to, you know, stop all this BS. And we have the lowest, well, the whole country. I mean, the educational system obviously is in the toilet, but right here in Michigan, all they talk about is money, and they have the lowest performance scores. And all the, and when I talk to the superintendent, all he says is, well, yes, we could do better. No shit.
Yeah. Well, hey, okay. Eileen, because it's just you guys. Where are all the people? Where are the people with you?
Right.
And thanks, Eileen. I know I want to go on. I got to go on. Let me ask you this. I'm going to hit this one. Is there such thing? Can you be an adulterer and be Christian? Can you be a thief? Is there such thing as a Christian thief? Is there such thing as a Christian liar? Is there such thing as a Christian adulterer? How can there be a gay Christian? Folks, how can there be a gay Christian? We'll ask again. Our churches are talking about it. Our gay brothers in Christ. What? You see, you say it. Well, Coach, you're judgmental and hateful. Missouri McQuee. Come on in.
It's just me, Kevin.
Yeah, I figured that.
I went to the prayer vigil last night. I got off the truck late. I printed 15 copies of Craig's Refiner's Fire Flyer. And it was at a Pentecostal church. They've erected this 70-foot-tall cross. And there was at least 150 people there. The parking lot was packed. As typical, that church did put that event on. And they had a stage, and they had a microphone. And I'm just standing at the back of the crowd, and they sang the praise and worship songs, and everybody started getting into the mood, and everybody was repentant and contrite. And as they started to end,
they were hypnotized.
As the service ended, I just prayed the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I don't need a microphone. I spoke up. And I spoke up and I commanded. I said, I want the man of God. And they responded and they looked at me. And I don't know what else I said, but I said, it's time now for the men of God to be bold and to have courage of David and to go forth and speak the word of God all the time. Speak the name of Jesus all the time. Take back command of our land. Take back command of our schools. They're killing us every which way they can. Satan does that. I gave away every flyer.
Amen.
I ended up being on the news. I'm going to try to find the clip. But I had a whole bunch of them that were looking at me like, I can't believe you did that.
Courage is contagious. Got to move on, Kevin. Courage is contagious. Laura Ann, then Dave Allison. Because listen, I got no after show. I got to leave after show. Go, Laura Ann.
Can I pray for you? Because I feel like I'm supposed to.
Yeah, please do.
So let's lock and load. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, it is in Jesus' name. Today we come before you. Coach is your son, most of all. Michelle's wife and his kid's father and his kid's grandfather. In the mighty and Jesus, I'm coming to you and asking that the Holy Spirit fall upon Coach, as the coach, his job is to study the opposing team and bring the films back to the team. We ask you, Almighty God, and your knowledge and exactly how to apply it according to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance that he grows closer to you in intimacy, not because of trials and tribulations, but just because he's your son. And as he leads this team, Lord God, we ask you to make him and his wife, who's his paraclete, who's with him when the cameras aren't rolling and the microphone isn't there, and Coach has a bloody and dirty and gritty microphone, because playing on the field includes all of those things. And every time he's first and goal, or there's a field goal that needs to be kicked, Lord God, because it's the last 3 seconds of the game, that the enemy has been put on notice as of right now. Hands off of Coach, his wife, and his family, and his property. And Lord God, that you raise him up, that the enemy winds up working for Coach and his wife, that you make them, their intimacy so much stronger and their bond so much closer, because you are the one that holds them together. So Lord God, I thank you for protecting Coach and his wife and his home and all that you have given him, so that your glory is raised up like no other. And that the enemy, as the enemy trembles because of Coach, just the name Coach, Lord God, that he's working for you, that he's 10 toes down and he's in position, Lord God, to share and lead the team that you've given him on the field, in the locker room, on the benches, Lord God. And that, Lord God, that the enemy, you now cannot raise up one, as you raise up the weapons and you try to fire him, you are they're disengaged. That he has the shields of faith wrapped around him, that as you give him his new uniform, his helmet, his pads, Lord God, his new microphone, Lord God, to lead as he listens to the other head coaches that he's got with him, whether it's for the offensive line, special teams, whether it's for the defensive line, whether it's for the water boy or the ball carrier or the officials, that Lord God, that you give him that wisdom to share with them as he shares it with the team. And we thank you for protecting him, because you said your love bears all things. And that word bears in the Greek and in the Hebrew means to protect. So he protects his team, and his first team, and his leading assistant coach is Michelle, that she is protected and that she hears from you. And as she shares with him what you have told him, you give him ears to hear, a heart that can apply it. And Lord God, together, stand back and see the glory of who you are, Lord. Thank you for doing this. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing this prayer. And thank you for interceding on his behalf and being his attorney in heaven as the enemy comes up against him. And Lord God, I pray with all these other people on this team that they tremble, because they know their days are numbered, because Coach is yelling from the sidelines. He's not whispering. And as he shares the playbook that you have given him and the plays he needs to apply, Lord God, you stand back and smile and say, that's my boy, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Laura Ann. God bless you. Dave Allison, real quickly, man. I got to run. Go, Dave. Thanks, Laura Ann.
Good, Coach. Go ahead and close out the show.
No, it's okay. It's all right, man. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's get Linnea in Nebraska. Go ahead. No?
Sorry, I had my phone and everything off. I just wanted to add some prayers for you, Coach, if that's okay.
Sure.
Hold on. I thought I was like third. Okay. Oh, Lord God, Jehovah Adonai, Lord God Almighty, that Coach, please protect him. Help him walk in purity and be protected for the deceptive schemes of Satan. Oh, Lord, I thank you that he's experiencing good health, rest, and refreshment from you this day. I thank you that he has a heart for the lost and that he is an effective and fruitful soul winner. I pray that he abides in you and is devoted to pray and relies on you, and that he leads us and everyone with your spirit in the spirit and power of you, our Lord, for it is written, you have spoken this, that those who believe, that signs will follow them. So our Lord, I hope, I pray that Coach is filled with your spirit and power, and those signs that are following him, that he should take up serpents. If he drinks any deadly thing, it shall not hurt him. That he lays the hands on the sick and they shall recover, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bind the strong man Satan, that I may spoil his house, taking back every material and spiritual possession he has wrongfully taken from Dave Dobenmeyer. I loose the enemy's influence over every part of his body, soul, and spirit. I loose, crush, smash, destroy every evil device he may try to bring into Coach's spirit of influence during this day. Amen and amen. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Folks, Michelle and I covet your prayers more than you even know. God bless you. This will be our finest hour. See you tomorrow.